We are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
Oh my God, it's a little bit hot in here today. I'm not exactly sure why, but I don't know if that's going to go over well or not. At all. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining me. This is Toward Anarchy. I'm Michael Storm. As always, my pleasure to be here every weekend live worldwide across the Republic Broadcasting Network. And I just bring you some guests and we just have some chats. Took last weekend off for the Father's Day weekend. Enjoyed some time with my family, which it was convenient anyway because my guest had disappeared. He went off grid and then reappeared about 5 minutes before the show. Hey, are we still on? No, I decided to take the day off, man. I'm going to take a break. I didn't even realize it was Father's Day. I don't pay any attention to that kind of stuff. Every day is Father's Day for me. Every day is Mother's Day for me. I enjoy me, myself, my family, our life, our love together every single minute, every single day. I don't need a special day to stop and think about it. I get that a lot of people do. That's what happens. If I could so easily, as a person that kind of pays attention to what day it is, sort of, sometimes, if I'm not even concerned about that sort of thing, I can see how it could very easily get passed by somebody else who is interested, busy with, concerned with the day-to-day drudgery of their life, yeah? Towardanarchy.com, that's the place to follow along. As always, I have provided some interesting little things for you, a link or two, a quote, just the sorts of things that we do each week. I have to apologize with the website. If you go wandering through there, you might find some broken things right now, but I will, I'm getting it fixed slowly but surely because I tried to, just technical nerdy stuff. I put some stuff in the wrong place a long time ago and I'm trying to move it into a proper place now. And it takes time and it can leave some silly little, that page you're looking for? It's not there. It's gone. So if you run into that, just back up and go back to the front page and rest assured that it'll be fixed. Eventually, I will have the whole thing fixed. What happens is I keep finding ones that I missed when I think that I've got the whole thing, and it's just not all there. But I guarantee if you go to towardanarchy.com right now and you're with us live, you look right there at the front page, you see Dr. Dean Lloyd, my guest for the day, and if you click on that link, follow it to the June 25th page. You'll see some information about Dr. Dean Lloyd, a couple of links, as always, that I provide, and a meme, and a nice little quote. The strength and powers of despotism consist wholly in the fear of resisting it. And that was Thomas Paine who said that, and I live it. I know it. I understand it. I watch it. I see it. I feel it. It's all around me. Dr. Dean Lloyd is a facilitator and a healer. He's evolving the species. He is helping us all through the growing and healing processes by connecting body and mind and spirit. Every week I have to throw up some links and say, oh, you know, here's the information, here's the show, here's what's coming up. And I was just thinking about what it is that Dr. Dean Lloyd does. And what he does is he's an allopath, but he's also a naturopath, and he chose the naturopath because of his understanding of real, you know, whatever you call modern Western medicine, allopathy, and it's his experience as a, quote, real doctor, and the obvious need for a conscious healing approach. You know that I bet you know this, Dr. Lloyd, that the average doctor interrupts his patient in less than 30 seconds.
That's a statistic that I don't find surprising. I personally have had most experiences where the state of mind of those that are overextended, they won't listen to their patients. They'll just take the initiative by saying that this has to be done, and we don't want we can listen to you for a little while, but you've got 5 minutes. There's this really limited amount of energy and time spent because of the overextension of where the doctors are at. In other words, they will only allot just so much time, and they'll lose patients, so they'll interrupt patients. And you've got to also be very skillful at this, because there are times when the patients will just continue to ramble on. That's definitely an issue. But what you're pointing out is a matter of patience, which ties into the topic of today, which is time well spent. And the title is Don't Go Dummy Up. And we are so immersed in dumb things. Oh, my gosh. It's so incredible. I wanted to take a jump off of that point you just made about interruption. And what we're oftentimes is feeding ourselves distractions that are just so dumb. They're just not really necessary energy well spent. And in the case of where doctors put a lot of their energy, it's very myopic. It's usually put in things like, where can we verify with tests? How can I somehow funnel or corral this patient into using the drugs that I have to offer? How frequently is this patient going to come visit me? There was a story I had when I was in med school, and I was listening to these two doctors talking about I wasn't going into the lunchroom at the time. I waited, and they were talking about a surgery they were going to perform on a patient that was a very expensive surgery. And it was, I think, somewhere in the neighborhood of $180,000. And there was another one that was for $35,000. And that one, they were talking about giving it to the new surgeon on staff, and they were going to take the one that was $180,000, and they expected he'd only live a month after that anyway.
What? So,
yeah, that was the level of, let's just say, disconnect I was dealing with. And now this does not bode well for, obviously, a lot of those that have been indoctrinated, because it is a religion out there, medical religion. It is not based on so many spiritual teachings that we have been handed down. One of the beauty.
Man, I'd settle for some science.
Well,
some actual science. I'd be happy with that.
That's right. And so science is beautiful in its own particular lane. It's used for measurement, it's used for understanding mechanisms and pathways and hormones and cellular actions and bacterium and all these really wonderful things that are involved. But it's become so physical, it's lost its ability to increase the life force, let's put it that way. In other words, you'll never get healthier on allopathic Western medicine. The reason being is that drugs are forcing the body. They do not, they are useful in life-saving situations, absolutely necessary in some cases. But what we want, and I want, is to evolve into a higher state of awareness where we can pick and choose the direction we take our health, okay? Not become distracted by dumb things that are obviously, because it's obvious to me, one of my favorite words, but obviously time that's being used to distract us from our true, what we want is direction, is to be healthy. How do you be healthy? And no one's asking this question about what is healthy really look like. And I'll present it to you. I will give you the same question. What does healthy look like to you? Give me your perspective.
Well, I mean, I think it's a pretty straightforward answer. There's a confusion about it, though. There's a confusion that I think is purposeful about it. I think it's obvious to me. I think a person exudes a certain vibrance. You can see it in them. They know they are happy with themselves. I have a wife who was heavy as a young child, who was allowed to get big and had to then lose the weight for herself. And then as, you know, as we progress through our years together, this is all before we got together, having children and things like that, and putting on back on some weight, and just not being entirely happy with herself, and being one of those people that then gets herself in the right frame of mind, does the proper things that she needs to do, sheds that little bit of weight, and she's back down to what, God forbid, somebody might call normal for her size, and she's comfortable, she's happy, she knows how much lighter she is, she knows how much easier it is to get up and down the stairs, she knows how much nicer it is to not have to spend whatever time in the throne room after having a meal, because it's too much, it's the wrong foods, it's not going through the weight loss as a younger child, having messed up her metabolism and messed up her gut biome a little bit, and dealing with all of those things that come with being overweight, being unhealthy, knowing it, looking yourself in the mirror and doing something about it, not dumbing up like you're talking about, and taking the dumb side of it. Oh, well, yeah, you know, it's me. It's who I'm supposed to be. I should be happy with who I am. You could be happy with who you are and still be healthy, too. You don't have to. Actually, it's funny. Joe Rogan had Gabriel Iglesias, the comedian, on. It was on in the background at the shop, at the comic book shop yesterday. And that was one of the things that I caught them talking about, because he's trying to convince Gabriel that he can be happy and enjoy some foods and things like that and still be healthy at the same time, because he's like, you know what, I've tried it all. I've had people come live with me. I've had them cook my food for me. I've had to, there's part of the problem right there, right? You had somebody else doing it for you. You had somebody else managing it for you. Assistance is one thing. Drive and forcing you to do it is another. If you're not doing it yourself because you want to do it for yourself, then you're still not in the right frame of mind to be in that healthy space. So I think, to answer your question, I think it's obvious what healthy is.
Okay, let me expound on that, because we're trained to look at health as not being sick.
In other words, fair enough, yeah.
That this is our indoctrination. In other words, it's an anti-negative approach. It's never to where you're wanting to head or go in your body. It's always about, oh, you know, you might get herpes, you might have a flu, oh, you might have arthritis, you're getting old, you might have bone degeneration. In other words, these are considerations that you need to take into account as you get older, okay? You have to take into account the age, the lifestyle, the genetics, all of these different things. This is not what I'm talking about. Specifically, I'm saying those are factors. What I'm saying, where health is, it's about balance. We have so far gone off the rails as far as balance. We're overstressed. We're eating food that's not healthy for us. we're given too much stimulation in terms of things like the TV and the computer and all these kinds of things, and the body is.
I'm glad that you pointed out, because I take it for granted as somebody who does those things, who participates in those things and absorbs a lot of excess, but I'm already really good at deflecting it, pushing it off, putting it out in its space where it needs to be and not letting it affect me.
Well, that's where I wanted to lead the conversation to, yeah. Is where is it affecting you? Because when I speak of health, I'm talking about the state of mind that you're in when you're experiencing life. We have so disconnected ourselves from our environment. Why would it be so poor? And there's so many out there that are well-intended, that are in my field.
Well, this is the problem with the accepting who you are thing, is that at some point where there's a physiological issue that is created by you making yourself happy and accepting yourself mentally, that there's a line that can be crossed there. And I think that's where we have that problem, is that, yes, you should be absolutely happy with who you are and what you're doing and relaxed and in your space and accepting of who you are and how your body works and how you're in tune with it. But that doesn't mean that you should sacrifice it to a bad physical health, which then in turn causes you to have bad mental health. And then you start that whole cycle of self-abuse because of not being happy with yourself all over again.
And that's a pattern that's been bred into us. You said self-abuse. I would call it picking on yourself. You know, we're constantly, you know, saying I'm not good enough, or I didn't do that, you know, as well as I should have. And look, we are in a process of continuous learning. This is in my position, as far as I've come, I'm still a student of life. I will not put myself, I'll put myself in the teacher position when it's appropriate and needed, and it's necessary, because I have insight into so many different aspects of what I would consider health that are not part of my medical training, okay? They were more part of my experience. And I've heard doctors say that they learn more in the field than anything that the school had ever taught them.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But this is part of my main issue, is that when I say don't go dummy up, I have so very often seen where better information is provided for the patient and the medical team, okay, or the practitioner alone, and they go back to doing the same thing that was causing the problem. It drives me crazy. I have a doctor friend of mine who's in Colorado Springs, and he's an MD, an allopath that turned naturopath. And I had talked with him, gosh, going on like 15 or more years ago, where he has a nationality, a background, where he sees himself as being genetically defective. Now, I won't go into details, but I will say that he convinced himself. This is a doctor that is gone naturopathic and holistic in his practice, right? But he's medically trained. What did he do? He started on antidepressants. I had listened to his rationale, and here's what it was. He said, well, because of my genetics and my background, I can't overcome the serotonin deficiency. In other words, I'm just genetically, you know, designed for that. Now, I've got two main problems with that. One is, yes, there are genetic predispositions for people that have what are called SNPs, that are mutations like COMT, MAO, all these different acronyms we give for different genetic defects.
Right.
All right. Now, when he said that, I immediately had one red flag. Where is serotonin made? The answer is your gut. Serotonin is a mood regulator, and dopamine is paired with this. It's used in The drugs, of course, the selective serotonin reuptake inhibiting drugs, Paxil, Lexapro, Prozac, all those antidepressant drugs, which are not antidepressants. It's an incorrect term that the public has bought into. I've used that example in previous shows.
And since you bring that up, one of the links that I shared today, towardanarchy.com, June 25th there, you see all the stuff about evolvingthespecies.com. That's where you can go and find out more about Dr. Lloyd. And then there's a link there to Cruising the Epiphany Highway, a digital version of that, which is our little guidebook, our sort of little roadbook that we're following along in talking about some of the topics that we converse about each month. There's some links there, and one of them is another classic duh moment for anybody who's paying any kind of attention and has been for any amount of time. And there are little friends in the medical pharmaceutical industry there. A new study was just released here that shows it's just so stupid. I don't even understand how it's a headline that it's the dark side of these medications and how much more harm they do. The drugs like Adderall and the Ritalin and these things that are supposed to supposedly enhance cognitive abilities and supposed to change your moods, modafinil and Pragavil, and there's so many of these different chemicals, and we've known for so long that they just don't do the job that they're supposed to do. In this case, these guys are talking about sort of ADHD and stuff, but it's the same across the board with what you're talking about in these SSRIs, these different drugs. They don't do what they claim that they do. And why? And the question is why and how and what is it that they can use to continue to foist this stuff upon us?
Because of a grossly stupid public. And I'm not going to say that in harm. I'm saying that because they've not been informed, because these are mislabeled medications. They have a particular level of function that qualifies for the definition.
It's got to be such a low bar.
Well, that's the point, is that it becomes intentionally confusing. It's made to be so selective in terms of its particular direction in saying antidepressants or anti-inflammatories, which have their place. Don't get me wrong. But when we talk about side effects, these are supposed to be accepted. I say in Dr. Klein's case, and getting to my second point,
right.
This is not acceptable for me. In other words, if I had depression, I'd want to know why I'm depressed, what the chemistry is involved, what's my lifestyle about? Depression in this case, remember, it's a vitality issue. You never met a depressed person that's full of vitality. Right? This is his case. And when I would talk to him, I realized there was no opening for me to enter into the holistic doctor mindset because he was toilet trained.
He'd already closed it off.
He's fixated on that way of it functioning. He's not looking at other options or ways of overcoming, which is the true objective here, that condition that he himself finds himself a victim of. I don't want to call it true victim. He's more of a slave to it. He's controlled by that state of mind that he has. And although he branched off into doing some good things in holistic medicine, he's still looking at it through the allopathic lens.
And I get why somebody would want to do that, especially somebody who invested half a lifetime in trying to be an allopath.
Oh, yes.
Man, how do you get to the point? Well, man, that's weird. How do you get to the point of being somebody who claims is somebody who's homeopathic, somebody who's working closer with their patients and working with different remedies and things, and still, I don't see that path. That is so weird. It makes my head hurt. The whole time you've been talking about this thing, I'm just trying to reconcile this in my brain, and it's this thing about there are so many smart people who are so damned stupid.
I'm gonna give you the part I'll share with you a little later in the show on that very issue of incompetence based on overeducated idiocy.
Right.
They're overeducated. They're meaning that they're always trying to justify their particular system, and the feelings are justified, but they don't make sense, because it is the delicate balance of understanding how your feelings operate the body, how your feelings run the show. And feelings are programmed, patterned, and conditioned into us. And unless you break the cycle, unless you reprogram that part of you that is based, that's run feelings running the show, then you can justify anything, even doing surgery on a patient you know is going to die, as I mentioned earlier. You know, in other words, they've got all of these things in place that give them the license to kill. That it does come down to that. And it's not that we don't have good tools. We just have primitive emotional patterns that are bred into the I don't want to call it just the medical profession, but into us.
No, it's across the board. And it's exactly this thing that you've talked about before with these people buying their own trip.
Yeah, that's because they're so heavily invested, Michael. You got to separate yourself from, if you're able to make it work, from the system itself, because these are, whether it's the Oriental medical system, which I am partial to because of my insight into their way of thinking. I very much agree with most of what they say, not everything, but most of what they say, because they were interested in creating balance. Okay, and balance refers to 8 parameters, 5 seasons. It's not 4 seasons in Chinese medicine, it's 5 seasons. They have late summer additional seasons. But we are all part of this cycle within cycles of our body's rhythm, our circadian rhythm, our 24-hour clock. And this comes to the whole point of what is healthy, right? Is healthy is balance. It's understanding. It's redirecting your body. If you're sick, you're out of balance. If you're in pain, there's blocked energy. When you talk about pain as a way of teaching, it becomes a different view. I found pain to be good for me, because I knew there was something I had to address or deal with to overcome.
Oh, yeah. The worst thing that you can do is go on and on with a problem that doesn't cause you pain, because you can ignore it.
Ignoring is the only devil I've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
This is the game we play with ourselves, and that's why we fool ourselves. We go dummy up, and I've done it myself, I will admit.
We all have.
But I catch myself when I find myself giving energy to something that isn't serving them. Mm-hmm.
That's the difference, right? Is when you're able to see yourself doing it and stop yourself from doing it. You want to talk about some energy transfer, this thing that happened here over the last week. You're probably not much of a social media guy. Across the social media, of course, they're talking about this Titan sub and these billionaires and these people that they imploded. Trying to go down to see the Titanic, and while I'm the first to love some dark humor and enjoy some stuff, I think that there's a time and a place, and that there's a certain type of person that's going to take advantage of cheap humor and cheap shots at people they don't like for reasons they don't understand. Billionaires, they hate them. Everybody hates them, and it's just the way we are in society today, and there's no particular reason for it. I get hating a George Soros, if you have to use the word hate at all. If it's your thing, it's in your vocabulary. I understand something like that, and even sort of maybe celebrating it, but right in the middle of this whole thing, before anybody knows that they're dead, and it's just these sort of tasteless jokes. And I don't particularly care. I don't think that you have to apologize for it or anything. But what I really absolutely do believe is that if you walk around, you call yourself enlightened, you call yourself a better person, you want to put good energy, that's what we were talking about, out into the world, that I don't think you have to apologize for being that. I don't think you have to say you're sorry for being sort of uncaring and unfeeling to strangers, if that's who you are. But I do think that you lose any claim to being any better than the rest of the animals when you are that way to people.
Right. Well, just think, take it from the perspective of those wealthy people. They're indulging. They're overprivileged. There's a lot of people in positions of power that don't deserve to be there.
Absolutely.
You know, and what you're getting is resentment from people. And they are building. I've heard the story. I know that it's been circulating. But I haven't given much attention to it.
And why would you? And that was my point about it. Why would you waste that energy? And if you were going to think about the pain and suffering of other people at all, maybe you should do it in a positive light. If we're trying to make this a better place,
right? And you can look at how many traffic accidents kill people, and it continues to increase each year. I don't know how many thousands it is, but the focus is on something that they can identify with.
Right? Oh, and that's it. And that's part of it, identifying with things and not being able to identify with things and people in their place. And I say put a different face on that person in that place, and maybe we'll see if you have the same attitude. We'll be back with Dr. Dean Lloyd.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names, Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
I hear something saying.
Where don't you know?
That's the sound of the men working on the chain. Gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain. Gang. All day long they're saying.
Anarchy.com to follow along. The link that I was talking about earlier about the drugs and the fact that they just keep doing studies on these things, and it's just so it's the same thing over and over and over again at this point. And I wonder why people still continue to give this system the benefit of the doubt when it's proven itself repeatedly over and over again to be nothing but about the money, about the politics, about you have to. I guess this is the dummy up problem that you're talking about, right, Dr. Lloyd? This is that people are taking the dumb path and doing the easy thing when all of this is out there, all of this is available. And all it should tell the individual is that they need to, you know, take control of their own situation, that they need to stand up and that they need to be the voice, the advocate for themselves in their health, because no one else can do it for them. No one else can feel what they feel. No one else can answer the questions the way that they can answer them. And it's all about this openness in both directions. And this, it's so much. This is why we have to have a conversation every month, right? We have to keep talking about this, because as we're doing this, as we're having this conversation, as we're trying to get people to take more value in themselves and what they do and who they are and take control of their mental and physical health, we have a system that is fighting back. It's fighting for its very life because they thrive on us being sick and stupid and lost and confused out here and not in control of ourselves and our emotions and our bodies to keep us literally sick and to keep or if not sick appearing and not healthy in the head. Get, you know, hey, here's some drugs. Take this. This could make you feel a little bit better tonight. I just before the show started today, everything's a goddamn drug commercial, man. You turn, it's all drug commercials. And it's all just this made up BS. Every little symptom, every little thought that crosses your mind, by God, stick some drugs in it.
Yeah, the attention is easy to control when you know the weak points of humanity, you know, what their indoctrination is, what their fears are. And once you do, you can use that knowledge to just become grotesquely wealthy, right? And why do you think that there's so many people that are in a desperate situation? Let me sort of illustrate this in regards to this the types of commercials you're seeing here, which are apparently not, I don't know this for sure, but I don't think that drug commercials are allowed in other countries, all of them in Europe and in Asian countries. I don't think that they're allowed there. In other words, the pharmaceutical company has gained so much power. And remember, life is about two things. Half of it is consciousness, the other half is power. And power has no mind of its own. So what you're seeing is the use of money, making more money. But there's when they achieve such billions and such wealth, are these people truly understanding what they're doing? They have a particular way of, or a particular mindset that tells them it's justifiable to have as much of themselves, which is possessions and money, as much of themselves as possible. This is where, that's how they see themselves. That is, they identify, just like we were talking before the break, is that they identify themselves as being in power by having wealth. And it's a frigid ecstasy. And it is truly about more than that. It's about controlling you. And the most important thing in your heart, one of the reasons we had heart conditions or heart disease is number two. I think it was back in the 90s and early 2000 was number two in the rate of deaths in this country. Well, heart is where you control your life. It's really unclear on what the number one killer is in America because there's so many variables. But the heart in Chinese medicine is about joy. That is, if you're in control, that is what we're talking about here. Control of your thoughts, control of your feelings, control of your, you know, life direction, your choices. And it's true. I can't do everything I want. But what we are talking about is others that want to control you. And the reason they do is because of their own inadequacies, insecurities. So they surround themselves with so much wealth, so grotesquely greedy, that it causes the destruction of themselves, not knowing, and the planet. They will continue to do so until we put a stop to it.
And the problem is that you can't really put a stop to it because we live inside a system that feeds off of the success and the need of companies, industries, things like that to prey on the people and to keep them weak and idiotic and stupid and just not in control of themselves. Because if you ask the advertising industry itself, you've only had direct pharmaceutical advertisements to consumers in America since the mid-90s, mid to late 90s, 97, 98, something along those lines. And, of course, the advertising just shot through the roof at that time. And here's the problem. Okay, so you have people who don't understand their health already, and you confuse them with advertising. You take advertising and you take healthcare and you put the two of them together and put them in front of an ignorant a population, and you get what you have here. And you get what you have in only a couple of places. To answer your question earlier, it's only America and New Zealand that even allow drug companies to directly advertise to consumers.
Yes. And it's just another tool of control, just like controlling the money, how it's being printed, controlling by military might. And these are, you know, the bigger cudgel approach, which is really a primitive way of doing it. It's not about evolution. It's about just like with science that we had talked about earlier, is that so much of science is scientific reductionism. It's keeping you controlled by science. Science is, like I said before, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, it's amazing to understand these mechanisms, what they didn't know back in the 1600s during the plague, what that was. You know, what was it that was causing all these people to die? You know, was
wow,
it?
We figured it out. That's amazing.
Yeah, was it? It was an evil spirit. You know, and all this, but it, bacteria was proven to be, you know, spread by vermin, and that the spread of this affected some people, but what happens to the people that didn't die from it, right? This is why I'm talking about what's going on now, is that our consciousness, it's already here. It's just that it's so new that I mentioned that story about the doctor that had better tools to overcome the depression issue he was dealing with, but he wasn't using them because he reverted back to his fears. As I see so very often, he went, in that case, dummy up. because he did not take the tools that he was given, but there was a mechanism of programmed fear of that being self-sabotage, pick on yourself, don't, you know, you'll never get to what you want, but you have to do, you can do what you want, just never, you know, and truly enjoy yourself while you're doing. You know, that's the program we're given. We're given, you don't have the ability because you're a no good, worthless sinner. You know, you've been brought into this world to suffer. And it
and
is.
And don't enjoy your life until the very last couple of minutes when there's really no, there's nothing, there's nowhere for you to go and nothing left for you to do. And if you do, you have to sort of wheel yourself along to get there. We're so backward. And it's so obviously about the conspicuous consumption, but not capitalism. And this is why I find myself in this conversation so often with people and trying to understand why it's important, what the difference is between what capitalism contributed to drug advertising and drugs in the market versus what political and social opinion and manipulation of the communication channels has allowed to get to the people.
Now, Michael, you identify the problem very well. I think that the, you know, the, a lot of the radio shows that are attempting to overcome these obstacles, the radio shows, I'm impressed with a lot of what the RBN has put together in terms of different perspectives, and I like listening to them in a general way. But I wanted just to broach this topic with the attitude that I'm here to offer solutions, because so very often we're very good at defining the problem, but what about the solutions? And where I want to go with this is provide mechanisms and tools that they people were not born with, right? They were given the, you know, their systems, right? You know, the religious systems, their particular you know, upbringing, how they identified, which has, you know, their own direction that they want to use these things. But what I want to do is give some things that are psychologically infallible. That's my in healing. My perspective is about consciousness. My interest is about consciousness. Yes, I want to understand the latest in terms of, you know, supporting hormone functions for women and providing assistance in aiding the mental or cognitive functions and blood circulation. And that's absolutely part of this whole thing. But what I am talking about is the highest level, the spiritual teachers that were on this planet, the highest. Who were these people? They were all healers. Look at Buddha. Look at Jesus. Look at all of the high levels of healers that were bringing the consciousness to the people so they could catch themselves before they go dummy up. And they're putting energy that are things that are not serving them, never have, is where the people can be controlled by fear, in that you will get diseased, you will get arthritis, you must take this drug. Ask your doctor, look how flashy and how showbiz and how Hollywood we are. You know, we have the authority. We're the important people. We're the ones you should trust. Well, obviously, you and I picked up on that early on, and we started questioning things when we were, you know, before we entered high school. We were saying there's something very wrong with this picture, and we have to, and that was my, at 11 years old, I made a solemn vow that I would figure out what it was that was plaguing humanity, because they were doing so many stupid things.
Hmm.
And it personally affected my life, and my mother was put in an institution out of stupidity of the people that were supposed to be there to help her.
Help her, yeah.
And because of that, I was confused. I mean, I knocked my head in the wall so many times. I was pounding my head. How does this work? But I've broken through. I bet my, you know, Dr. Rosen and I were spiritual brothers. we connected on so many levels, and we shared so much of the same path that we carried on this incredible wealth of knowledge, mostly in his book that he put out, Cruising the Epiphany Highway, which I'm glad to announce that is on the Evolving the Species website now, and you can get volumes 1 and 2.
Awesome.
I love quoting, but this is my job, was mostly to interpret what he was saying. Okay, he was doing such incredible work, and I was having to explain that to my medical field, my medical profession. I was traveling the country and the world and doing teaching on my Oriental medicine, but I always knew that whatever system you were using, as long as it was viable, it always depended on your consciousness.
Right.
Because these allopaths that are using these tools are toilet trained in a primitive fashion. They cannot function without their tests. Okay. They do not know what it's like to have control in an integrated way of mind and body. It's something that they're trained to see it as being a separation of mind.
Well, they're trained to see the body as a machine, and so the mind is a separate. It's a separate thing, and there's all, you know, that's the field of the psychologist. That's those guys over there. We're doctors. We worry about the machine. We can make the machine work. It works in very specific ways, so it has to work this way for you too.
Yeah. Well, then we have to upgrade. It's time. We've already passed the point of so much collateral damage.
Oh,
and there
God.
Are people that are promoting the fear. You know, yeah. We're going to get through this. It's going to take a lot of patience and being able to decipher, be discernment, have used discernment. Okay, the word prejudice has that meaning in it. Mm. Prejudge. Okay, but the word has been corrupted.
Well, I'm not prejudiced, but I prejudge a mother all day long.
Well, that's part of the whole game, is that these words are being used, like antidepressants, like prejudice, is being used to prey on the fears of the weak-minded.
The prejudice is turned into racism and hatred, as opposed to discernment and the ability to keep yourself safe from things that are dangerous, ignorant. Otherwise, you should just stay the hell away from.
But can I add to that definition? I'd like to say racism is to be aware of biological differences.
Mm.
Okay, the word race just simply means, are you Aryan? Are you Oriental? Are you, you know, Hispanic? Whatever.
Scythian.
Yeah, whatever these different backgrounds should not make it. There's factors, a lot of factors involved with how that race was over thousands and thousands of years, you know, been brought up, and their climate and what their cultures were trying to achieve, what was important to them. And if you study these different things like I have, especially the Oriental culture, and I've studied every healing modality, Vedic medicine, homeopathy, Oriental medicine. I studied these because I was so interested in my healing process when I was going through seizures in my 20s. And I had to find answers that were not being provided me. So I just nonstop, I was constantly studying. I was a bookworm, but I was more of a student of life, wanting to understand all these different systems that were using what they were using and for what purposes and how effective they were. And if they were trying to achieve what I wanted, which is to understand how the mind worked. And that is the missing piece that we have in our medical profession, is that we are trying to reduce our thinking to science. Science is not there to limit our thinking. It's there to expand it. And the more that you're using pharmaceuticals, you're using science, because they are trying to justify you using a chemical substance to force the body into a particular place that suppresses or takes away whatever the disease is, which it doesn't do. I mean, it might do temporarily, but when you're taking like high blood pressure medication, beta blockers, for example, for a long period of time, you don't think that there's going to be side effects to that? And the studies that they do are they're very selective, let's say, in terms of side effects.
Oh, of course they are, yes. They even hint at it when they talk about things. Oh, well, these things have been studied together, not independently, all these different symptoms of something. That's one of my favorites.
But that is intentionally trying to throw you off track.
Of course it is, yeah.
And that is the whole purpose of somebody who wants to control you. I would never stoop to the levels of fear, confusion, doubt, anything negative to teach you. It does not serve its purpose. And I've even had patients tell me, well, you're doing these tests on me, which I do sometimes. I have to test for some things because you want me to do something. You want me to take a particular protocol, herbal protocol or medication or something. Mm-hmm. And I say that with me doing this testing, I have no reason to do that. And it catches them off guard because then they have to question my authenticity. They have to look at me and saying, what is the purpose you're doing this? Because every time I've been lied to, every time I've seen a doctor, they've never given me a full, complete answer. Or they may have given me some of what I needed back then. And there's brilliant surgeries and amazing life-saving procedures that are done on people that are commendable.
Not the same thing. I would hope that everybody by now gets the difference between that. That this is not the same thing. Emergency care for people, triage, things like that, and even in depth, when you've gone through the process and you find that there's something with somebody, and then some of these amazing things that they do, ripping people's chests open and fixing hearts and fixing lungs and pieces and parts, and it's just amazing. But these are different things. We're not talking about that. We're talking about longer term. We're talking about something that there's long term pain that people live with, and they just don't understand why, and it's in their heads and it's in their hearts and it's in their bodies physically, and they can chase from one place to another, from one fad to another, time and time again, and we all have it. Some of us, we don't know that the pain is there. We've suppressed it, or again, as we were talking about earlier, that there's not a pain necessarily associated with a disease or something that's wrong with someone, which just makes it that much easier to ignore. We're talking about the complete picture, not emergency services and things. That's a whole different topic of conversation and a whole different topic of medicine, really.
Yeah, and we're going to have to do a part two to this. I didn't even get to my
talk. Always.
I didn't even get to my talking points that I wanted to share. It's just that when I open my big mouth, I just can't stop.
Man, we just got to talk. We got to take it where the conversation takes us. As always, such a pleasure talking with you, Dr. Dean Lloyd. Take care until the next time. And the rest of you, we'll be back next week. Take care.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.